There's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11 listeners.
This is me.
This is the Unique Geek.
And welcome to another edition of 50 Days of Dragon Con, the podcast that just likes hanging out by the lake at Crystal Lake. And with me, actually sunbathing over there at Camp Crystal Lake, is Lee. Hi. Lee, how you doing?
You know, I am sunbathing over at Camp Crystal Lake. It's a lovely, lovely day, and tonight we're going to go out and do a fire pit, and, you know, nothing will happen, because, you know, this is a gorgeous lake and lovely area, so yeah. It's all going to be great. I can't wait.
Do you have any teenagers running around?
I do have a couple of ditzy teenagers. I've got a virgin and a slut, and I've got the muscle-bound kind of jock guy. And yeah, so I mean, I think we're all going to be great.
I think you'll be perfectly fine. No worries at all.
I think we'll be perfectly safe. I mean, I am excited. I'm getting excited about Dragon Con because we have a lot of people not named. We got River Song coming, which we'd already heard about, and Alex Kingston, who is also on other shows now, which is great. She is an awesome actress. And we've got, there's so many people that have been not named. I mean, I can't even go through the whole list, but we've got Trisha Helfer is coming back. Most recently, she was in Ascension, but I think she's now showing in another show kind of semi-regularly or about to be, so that'll be good. And then we've also got James Pallas, who played Baltar on Battlestar Galactica, coming back. Cool. So both of them coming back is kind of cool, and got some more DJs named and stuff like that, but, you know. So we're just going to be here. I mean, I think one of the really cool ones that recently was named, and people may or may not, it skipped by me until somebody said it, was Tom Nissan? I don't know.
I think it's Meissen, but I'm not 100% sure myself.
There's a ghost.
There is another person who is with me at Camp Crystal Lake right now who is going to be telling us the scary stories tonight around the campfire. And that's Derek from the Horror Track. How you doing, Derek?
Oh, I'm doing okay. How are y'all doing tonight?
We're good. You got some good horror stories. You got some good campfire stories for us tonight, I know, leader. So we're all excited about that while we have s'mores and don't go off alone wandering through the woods. So, and Tom Nissan.
Run as far away from the car as possible, too.
Always run away as far from the car as possible. The running car with the keys in the ignition. But, yeah, Tom Nissan, who plays Ichabod on Sleepy Hollow, which is a heck of a coup because you've got him and John Noble.
Yeah, and also Corey Castellano, who's the head of the Sleepy Hollow's makeup department also. So he'll be
coming. Oh, wow. Oh, cool. Corey's coming. Now, wait, I know Corey. What else did he do?
He's done a number of things, but it's my understanding he is the head of Sleepy Hollow's makeup department currently.
That is very cool.
He's going to be putting on a presentation spotlighting the monsters of Sleepy Hollow, so I'm very curious to see how that'll be cool. I think it'll be very cool. You know?
That will be, and I remember Corey, he came to X-Track at some point, and I can't remember when, Corey, I'm so sorry, but did also talk about movie makeup, especially on how it is to make those scary, scary monsters. So, but Horror Track. So what exactly is Horror Track if nobody has been to Dragon Con before or hasn't ventured that far down to the Sheraton or Westin. Where are you now?
We are in the Westin, yes.
The Wild Wild Westin. So you're way over there. So what is Horror Track?
Well, we wanted to keep it simple by calling it Horror Track. You've known me for a number of years. The tracks that I've run have gone through a couple of different name changes.
But we decided
to call it Horror Track because I got tired of having to over-explain what exactly the track was. Now, we cover horror in popular culture. all media. So, of course, you know, we do focus on the guests that we have. So we do, most of our programming is geared towards the literary and television side of things. So,
okay. So, who are some of the literary guests you guys have this year?
Well, you know, we have a lot of great literary guests. You know, of course, probably the biggest name that we have this year, as far as horror is concerned, is Jonathan Mayberry. You know, he's a regular and he's been a very loyal and good friend to our track for many years. Mm-hmm. So, you know, always good to see him. Of course, also my longtime friend Karen Taylor, Chelsea Quinn, our bro. Sherry Priest, you know, many great writers.
Oh yeah, you got some great ones.
Oh yeah.
The great thing about Jonathan, he also is now he's ventured into the young adult area with his series called Rotten Ruin, which is Rotten Ruin, guys. It's about zombies, but it's written for a young adult audience, and it's very, very good. I have read it. But it actually got my nephew really into his reading, and now he's gone into other things Jonathan has read. So I was very happy that my 15, 16-year-old nephew is now really into that. And so, yay! Thanks, Jonathan, for being the gateway drug to more reading. Always good. Always good.
And of course, relevant to you, you know, his X-Files anthology just came out, too. So
X-Files anthology.
Yesterday.
Yes. He edited it, and he's going to be on my track along with Candido and Anderson, two of the people who contributed. So very excited about that. Yeah, that is going to be really – he's also doing editing now. That's, like, cool for Jonathan. So, yeah, very cool. And so, yeah, but you got the Sleepy Hollow guys. That's very cool. And who else? Do you have any other TV people right now or –
Oh yeah. We've actually got two guests from Hannibal, Aaron Abrams and Scott Thompson. You know, honestly, I did not realize how popular Scott Thompson was until any time I mentioned he was coming to Dragon Con, people literally would lose their crap.
Well,
it would
he
be like,
is
holy
so
crap. Scott Thompson, whoa! And I was like, well, I like him on the show, and I'm aware he, you know, has. He's had a lengthy career before Hannibal, but nevertheless, I was just like, "Whoa, hey, I'm glad you're excited." You know,
Kids in the Hall. Have you ever watched his stuff that when he was on Kids in the Hall?
No, but my my assistant director was a fan of his on that show.
Yeah.
So,
I remember most from Kids in the Hall with Scott Thompson was he was the first openly gay character. Really just out there with it, openly gay, on this kind of a comedy show. And it was just, first of all, he was hysterical. I mean, he is a master of comedic timing. And it just was just so great to see him and these other four guys and how they just kind of all played with it and they had fun with it. And it was very, very different at the time because I think this was in the, oh God, I don't know when Kids in the Hall was on, what, late 80s, early 90s? Or late am I or have I even gone another decade, late 90s, whenever Kids in the Hall was on, and I just loved it. And you got to think there were a lot of people that got started on Kids in the Hall too. So it's it was a great show and it was a lot of fun. Oh my God, it was hysterical. So cool. So John, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still there. So
you haven't asked a question. You're
well,
still now. Okay.
Lee, come on.
I'm sorry.
Come on.
I know. I had lots of
info dump. Derek, dump.
We like that though. See, so, we got all the important stuff out quickly. Now it's your turn.
Oh, actually, I have some more. I have some actors from American Horror Story as well coming. So I'm very pleased about that. No,
very cool.
We don't have the actor who played the clown last year. I was really, I really wanted some clown element to talk about this with you.
No clowns. Clowns are scary. Can't sleep. Clowns will get me. Can't sleep. Clowns will get me. No, seriously, clowns are freaky. And that clown was here. I mean, the makeup they did on him to make him look that freaky, just like, oh my God, no. And I remember reading on Twitter somewhere, they're like, I wonder if I could find a clown like that for my, you know, they were being sarcastic, but I wonder if I could find a clown like that for my daughter's birthday party. I'm like, yes, and that is psycho therapy for thousands of years. So, yeah. Hate clowns.
So Derek.
Okay.
Derek, now you used to be called the Dark Fantasy Track, I think, whatever. Something along those lines. Now, but there is also the urban fantasy, and how, because there's some things that seem to maybe cross over, but don't. How are you different from that track? How's your track different from that one?
I think a lot of it has to do with tone and approach. And the thing is, you know, I consider urban fantasy track to be my sister track. Because, you know, of course, it spun out of dark fantasy also. I mean, you know, dark fantasy divided into horror and urban fantasy. I'm glad they did when they did, because I couldn't even begin to imagine the headache it would cause to continue with one track combining all of that.
Well, it's just gotten so huge. I mean, urban fantasy has just expanded. I mean, horror has expanded in recent years, but so has urban fantasy. I mean, at one point, people would say that was pretty much the show Supernatural and maybe a couple of others. But now, I mean, it's gotten huge, and that's great for them. And you've gotten huge, too. Horror is mainstream.
Well, I know. I mean, it's weird because I have a surplus of shows that are legitimate horror. I mean, a few years ago, you know, it made sense to kind of combine things because there wasn't a whole lot out there, like as far as television is concerned. But now, you know, both genres, with the explosion of platforms, really, when you think about it, have just a number of shows. And it really, I think more than anything, I think a lot of it has to do with the audience. And audience expectations that drives what goes in horror and which goes in urban fantasy. You know, because, for example, one of the great things about Carol, who runs urban fantasy, is that, you know, me and her have known each other for many years now, and we're able to work together and kind of, you know, figure stuff out together. You know, so there's not a lot of fighting going on, you know, over what goes where. But like, for example, you know, when that show iZombie got announced, you know, David even said, well, you know, I'll watch a couple of episodes and you and, you know, Derek and Carol can talk about it and, you know, help decide, you know, try to sway me which way it goes. And honestly, I knew from the start that really belonged on her track. Simply because of the tone of the show, you know.
It is. There is some tonal difference, I think, between you guys. Yeah, I can see that, too. And I think that iZombie, and she also has, does she have Lost Girl? No, who has Lost Girl?
Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah.
She does
have
Lost Girl.
Lost
okay,
Girl.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Right. And so, it's just been amazing how all of these genre shows have really expanded, which I think has been, it's great for Dragon Con, but, you know, I still am amazed, and I watch Hannibal. I am still amazed that's been on NBC. And I know that it's only going to be, you know, this is the last season, but that's been on NBC to me, that NBC has stuck with it for 3 years, even though it's been kind of a shortened season each time. Way to go, NBC, and I just am amazed every time I watch. I'm like, I'm not watching AMC, and this is as gory as The Walking Dead, so and a little more freaky. So yay, all right.
I haven't checked, but I presume Walking Dead is in your area, right?
No, actually, there is a track called
Apocalypse
Rising.
Oh,
yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, tracks
those
can get like splitting hairs sometimes,
right.
In this case, you know, it was decided since the emphasis was more on, you know, civilization has gone to hell. pardon the language if I...
Yeah.
If,
no,
you
know, no, no, no. I just find that, yeah.
You know,
in a
handbasket,
yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because sometimes me and David will talk about, you know, well, is it before or after the zombie apocalypse? You know, that's actually the dividing line for what goes where sometimes, you know,
I think that'll be something we see, especially with the new show that's coming out, Fear the Walking Dead.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't know how much of that's going to be apocalyptic versus, oh my God, how do we deal with real zombies? And it's not, you know, we're not in a mall, or it's not, you know, Night of the Comet or whatever. So I think that's going to be interesting to see too.
Yeah. I'm sure that'll be grandfathered into Apocalypse Rising, because I think once a certain brand is established on a track, the derivatives are probably going to go there as well. You know, so.
You never know. You never know. I mean, but it's going to be interesting. I mean, I'm amazed they did a spinoff on that. What do you see as one of the reasons why, I mean, we talked about American Horror Story, which is now in the fifth season, the fifth iteration of that?
Yeah, this will be the fifth season coming up. Yeah.
Yep. I mean, you got American Horror Story, you've got Hannibal, you've gotten more horror movies. I know sometimes you talk about those. I just finished the second of the trilogy that Stephen King just put out, Revival. And you see more and more horror coming out in a lot of different ways and in your different forms. What do you see the reason for that jump is recently? Because it really seems to me that we have had a jump in horror.
Well, you know, I think it goes back to what I was saying earlier about the explosion of different platforms. You know, I mean, you've mm-hmm. got all of these new, you have all of these new channels or things like Netflix, and they're, a lot of these things are hungry for content, and horror mm-hmm. has always been an evergreen genre. I mean, you know, there's sometimes that it's been stronger than others. Mm-hmm. As far as a stronger presence in the mainstream. But I think now that there's so many options and so many places looking for content, you know, a lot of these places are looking to service, you know, a steady fan base, which horror traditionally has, you know.
That's
so,
yeah.
I mean, that's my personal guess. I just think it's the nature of more options means more genres get lifted, you know? I mean,
well, and I think what's been, I've been amazed by, even with more genres and more shows, I mean, FX is the one doing American Horror Story. And The Strain. Oh my God, The Strain. Now, is The Strain you or Apocalypse? Because I could either way on it.
You know, I think it belongs with me.
Mm-hmm.
But it's one of those that, since we don't have any guests from it, it's not one that I've really looked at in detail this year.
Yeah.
I'm sure if we had some, like, of the actors from the show or something, then it would have come up already. But I suspect it belongs with me because it kind of is the, it kind of falls in that pre-apocalypse kind of
scenario.
Like I say, folks, it's splitting hairs sometimes.
It is splitting hairs sometimes,
I mean, I think it's going to be that way. Well, it's even really that way between, you know, MyTrack and X-Track, for that matter.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we do. I mean, we even talked about Sleepy Hollow. I mean, it was more of, you know, well, do we go with the more of the conspiracy Freemason things, or do you go with more of the horror-ish aspects? And it just felt like that was where a lot more of that show was going. So, I mean, it made sense. And so, yeah, I mean, I love the show. You and I have talked Sleepy Hollow. I, you know, it is a show that I do have to turn off my history brain a little bit because I get little like, oh my God, no. But, that's okay.
My argument, and this is kind of my stance for a lot of shows, is it a derivative of a work that is commonly held in the public perception to be horror? I mean, you know, that because, I mean, yeah, I mean, when it comes down to it, the original Irving story is about a prank gone awry. But, you know, most people associate the imagery with horror. So, you know, even though the show is not really all that dark when you think about it, I mean, it exists because the whole, because of the horror genre. You know, that's kind of how we, that's my argument at any rate, you know.
That's true.
So.
Well, and I think, I mean, this was the first year my teenager doesn't really like scary movies and things like that, but The Strain, and of course we watch Walking Dead. We're all kind of addicted to it now, and some other things. But one of the things he did this year with a group is he actually, for his first time ever, went to Netherworld.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, if you're not in Atlanta, is a really huge, major, I think it's in the top 10 in the 5 or 10 in the country of haunted houses over the Halloween period. And
it's the Horror Track sponsor.
So, yeah, and Netherworld, he was like, it was kind of funny at times, and then all of a sudden I'd scream and be, like, my heart was beating through my chest. So I think that's a part of the horror thing, too, is people still like to be scared. But Netherworld is freaky. I watch them in the parade every year, so, wow.
Oh, yeah, and the thing is I actually am not really a fan of, ironically enough, I'm not really a fan of haunted houses, but I love Netherworld because since it's a permanent installation, they can have more of a theme to their haunted houses, you know, as opposed to just having random stuff jumping out at you. You know, there's like an underlying theme to their creatures and scenarios, and plus, you know, the sets are just beautiful.
I hate to use the term beautiful, but the makeup they do on the characters, even the ones who are at Dragon Con, I mean, it is wow.
Oh, yeah,
that has to take for hours. Yes. How in the world? I mean, just getting in that every day, I'm like, oh my God, how do you do this? So yeah, Netherworld, awesome. And they're they're your sponsor again this year. How are they being your sponsor? What are you doing with them?
Well, you know, they have give us nice banners to point people to our track in the Westin. Well, of course,
in the
banners are outside our door, but if you see the Netherworld banners, you'll know you're in the right place. for the past couple of years, they've brought in one of their monsters to set up in our room, you know. Occasionally a couple of the guys in costume will come around and kind of help out with, I hate to use the term odd jobs, but, you know, they'll come add some local flavor to the proceedings,
nice.
I guess you could say. Yeah, very, very cool, very... Very well done stuff. Very, very glad to be working with them again this year. So,
well, do you have any big special events you're doing through your track, or is it all just mostly panels this year?
You know, it is panels. You know, it's funny. Every year, me and my assistant director, who by the way is named Ichabod, is for maximum comedy value.
Oh, come on, really? Seriously,
Ichabod? Ichabod, yeah. So,
oh, wow, that's awesome.
And plus, he's the guy who, like, is my media moderator these days, so it's going to be Ichabod interviews Ichabod, you know. It'll be like routine.
Yeah, he had to hate that name when he was in high school, but now it's like, that is the coolest name in the world, dude. When you're an adult,
well,
that's like, wow.
Well, in fairness, it is a nickname. He's Ichabod. I mean, you know, it's one of those
things.
Right.
Yeah,
you know, but nevertheless, you know, I couldn't pass up a golden opportunity to have interview Ichabod.
That's a non-question. It is mostly panels and stuff like that you're doing this year, not a big blowout or anything like that.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't mean to get off on that. But at the same time, me and him have talked every year, it seems like, about doing a party, but it never really comes together because we're always like, well, you know, there's always these great parties and concerts and things going on, and we would just be another one. Why don't we just go crash some other parties instead? No.
Well, just for perspective, there's only 30 days left till Dragon Con, just so you know. Anyway.
Oh, God, thanks.
My friends Ego Likeness are playing this year. Just call their concert our party, and we'll be done with it, you know?
And you'll be done with it. There you go. Now, one of the things, too, about your track is it has a little bit different hours, as I remember from others. Most tracks go from about 10 a.m. until 11:30. Your track starts a little later and goes a little later.
No, actually it doesn't.
No, you're still 10? No, not
anymore? Yeah. Well, keep in mind, a lot of the media guests, they do put them on early hours.
Oh, that's true.
Most of, with the exception of Parade Day, of course, you know, our times start 10 or 11:30 in the morning. And at press time, our last... on Friday night, I have a 10 p.m. panel, but actually on Saturday and Sunday at the moment, of course, things are always tentative.
Tentative until your butt's in the seat.
Yeah, our last panel is at 8:30.
Okay.
Yeah, I actually kept some wiggle room in case they announce somebody at the last minute, which, as we know, is always possible. But
Always possible. We keep hoping. We'll see.
Yeah, as it stands right now, though, looks like we're going to be wrapping up in time for me to go sit down and rest somewhere. So,
oh wow!
At night, yeah. So,
what a cool idea! What a cool idea!
Yeah. I ain't young anymore.
Well, so speaking of which, if you had some time as a director, where would you like to go, or who would you like to go see?
You know, I haven't really looked around outside of my stuff this year. Although I will say, Jeff and George from Communicore Weekly, a Disney podcast, they're going to be doing a Haunted Mansion presentation for my track this year. And I'm sure they'll be talking about Disney stuff elsewhere, probably on Kaleidoscope. I wouldn't mind seeing some of their stuff. It probably strikes people as funny, but I'm a huge Disney fan. Primarily the theme parks. You can't live hard all the time.
Sometimes those big old mouse and other things can be very scary to begin with. So.
Well, this is, remember how Robin Williams put it, to a 5-year-old, Mickey Mouse is a 6-foot giant rat.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little, and also being there with small children can sometimes seem like a horror nightmare in a different way. Very different horror nightmare, but okay. So I'm going to ask a question and then John will go to the kind of final questions, but what are there some panels this year that you really want to tell people, hey, this, I mean, other than, of course, the wonderful the wonderful guest panels you'll be doing, but these are some panels we've really put some time into. These are ones I think people will really enjoy.
Other
than all of them, of course, all of our panels, something like kind of more special to you.
Well, yeah, I mean, I hate to sort of single something out because I always feel like I'm going to slot somebody, you know, but... Yeah, I'm going to be putting on a panel about what I am calling dread punk. It's kind of what may be best known as the gothic horror revival that's been going around recently. You know, I have my own website about this, dreadpunk.com. And I'm just shilling for my website right now. So
it's fine.
We love the shilling pimp.
What's the name again? What's the name of the?
Dreadpunk.com.
Okay.
DREADPUNK.com. So, that's going to focus on, the kind of the current wave of gothic revival in pop culture going on. Things like Penny Dreadful on Showtime, which is actually my favorite television show, by the way. Speaking of TV, we don't have any guests from it, but since it's my favorite TV show, we'll be doing a couple of fan panels on it. One's going to be a crossover with Alternate History downstairs, but
Very cool.
But, yeah, I mean, most of our panels are guest panels. That's the thing. That's the thing about the horror genre, since we're covering all media for it. You know, there's not a whole lot of room to just sort of have an hour of nothing, you know?
Yeah. No, there isn't. No, I mean, it is, I have like, you know, oh, by the way, if something happens, I have these backup panels. We can talk about, you know, we can easily talk an hour on the new dark turn Stephen King has kind of taken on some stuff. I've been reading his newest novels, and wow.
Yeah. Speaking of which, one of my volunteers, author and Grateful Dead fan Clay Gilbert, will be doing the Castle Rock Confidential panel. We sort of a tradition we've started in the past couple of years, which is kind of the year in Stephen King news and things. So that should be interesting.
That's good. I mean, my son just went up to Maine with some friends, and one of the pictures they sent me was of the Stephen King house with the bats on the wire thing. And I'm like, I hate you all that you're that close, and that's okay. So I will also say, if you have not read Joe Hill, different sort of horror, a little more subtle in some way, but somebody else just agreed to.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've read several of his short stories, you know, I admire him for, you know, forging his own path, but my gosh, he sure looks like his dad, doesn't he?
Well, I haven't really seen a picture of him yet, so I mean, I don't think I've gotten...
Okay.
I don't think I've gotten anything. Yeah, sorry. I just dropped the phone. Sorry about that. I don't think I've seen a picture of him yet, but I am not at all surprised that he looks like his dad. That's kind of funny. Don't grow a beard. Don't grow a beard.
It's there.
There. Oh, okay.
But yeah, he's a fantastic writer. I haven't read his full-length novel yet.
I am in the middle of Nosferatu right now, and Heart-Shaped Box. I think you would really like Heart-Shaped Box. It's also got some some heavy metal overviews into it, kind of an overshadowing about the music, and so it's kind of interesting. So, cool.
John,
you saw the movie Horns, or what?
Yeah, I was going to say, I saw the movie Horns, but unfortunately I haven't read the novel yet, which I've been told is different in structure, but it's a good movie.
Yes.
So.
Yes, I actually saw a T-shirt today that I want, and that's what somebody told me not to see Horns. I was gonna go see it. I like Dan Radcliffe as an actor usually.
Oh yeah.
And, I liked him in actually.
Gothic Horror's Great New Hope, apparently.
just a little bit. I actually did like him in The Woman in Black. I thought he actually did a pretty darn good job in that role. But, so he was like, no, don't go see it. Because I had read the book, and I was like, the book's pretty good. And they're like, yeah, no, just keep it. But I saw a shirt today that said, don't judge a book by its movie. And I thought, oh, my God, that's like the best shirt ever.
I thought it was a good movie. I mean, just as movie, I had no problems with it. So,
and sometimes that's the best way to see a movie if you haven't read the book yet, is just to go in it that way, because you're like, oh, okay, it's fine. Yeah, and then you read the book and you're like, two totally different things. And you have to take them that way.
Actually, let me give you a good example, though. In my favorite novel, is Mary Shelley's Frankenstein.
Yep.
One of my favorite movies is James Whale's Frankenstein and James Whale's Bride of Frankenstein. Those are terrible adaptations of that.
Oh,
novel.
Yes.
They're great
absolutely.
Movies. So, you know, a terrible adaptation doesn't mean that it can't be a great film, you know?
I don't disagree with you, because I think there are some out there that you look at and you go, you know what, I have to take the movie on its own merits and not try to make it merge with the book. If I can take the movie in its own merits, it's good. And I think that's a perfect example of that. I think people who have tried to stay too close to the source material, sometimes you're like, it's not a visual medium. The book is not a visual medium. So you can't always just take it from point A to point B. You can't. So.
Some things need a spirit to it. So,
yeah, there you go. That's a good point. Way to say that. All right, John, your turn.
All right, so I'm just going to ask you a couple of real quick questions. It's a this is a this or that.
Okay.
So Creepshow or Hellraiser?
Hellraiser.
Okay. Amityville Horror or Bates Motel?
Bates Motel, easily.
Okay. Friday the 13th or Nightmare on Elm Street?
Grateful Dead author Clay Grateful Dead fan and author Clay Gilbert would probably disagree with me on this, but I'm going to say Nightmare on Elm Street. He's a big Friday the 13th fan, so.
Okay. The Ring or Lord of the Rings?
The novel or the, I'm going to say Lord of the Rings, weirdly enough.
Okay. Stephen King or Clive Barker?
Clive Barker.
And Wolfman, Wolfman or Frankenstein?
Frankenstein monster, easily. It's my favorite character in pop culture.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Frankenstein's monster is my favorite, is like my favorite probably thing. So, you know, if the choice is this or Frankenstein's anything or Frankenstein's monster, Frankenstein's monster has a pretty good chance of winning. So
who would win?
Well, you're really hoping that,
too.
Well, so you're really hoping Universal redoes those movies and maybe in a good way. That's been a talk for a while. If they could do them in a good way. If they could do them in a good way, it depends.
Well, here's the thing is, I would be open to the idea of them redoing them if, and to a degree, it'd be like, I'm like, you know, it'd get a Pavlovian response out of me anyways. It's like you put Frankenstein's monster on screen and it's anywhere near, it's anything like a like either the novel or the Karloff version. And I'm just going to be, hey, that's cool, you know, but, you know, like I say, I would be cautiously optimistic if they move forward on something like that. But
well, they're going to cast Johnny Depp in all the character as all the characters. So,
well, is it going to be? It depends on how he plays it. Really?
Yeah. So, which Johnny Depp are we talking about? Are we talking Edward Scissorhands Johnny Depp or Jack Sparrow Johnny Depp? It always kind
of
depends.
That's a good way of putting
it. You want a drunk Frankenstein's monster is what you really want.
No, but then again, I mean, Edward Scissorhands, I mean, that was basically Frankenstein's monster.
Right.
Yeah,
in a way.
True.
Yeah. And we will be talking about that Clive Barker, Stephen King thing. I know we got to finish this now, but next director's meeting, we will chat.
It's tough because, you know, Lee, you know, I have been jokingly pitching a Stephen King track for a couple of years now.
Years, yes.
You
right.
Know, and I still, you know, but at the end of the day, I tend to err more towards the dark fantasy. I guess me, Clive Barker really is what I mean when I say dark fantasy. At any rate,
yeah, and that's very true. I mean, and he does have more of. Well, Stephen King is scary. I don't consider a lot of his books horror. I don't know what I can. I don't really name them in that genre. I just say, oh, I'm reading a Stephen King book, and people know what I mean. Well, but they really don't, because you can go from anything from The Gunslinger to, you know, misery.
Well,
so
I mean, certainly the early stuff like The Shining was horror. I mean,
Terry,
Well, the thing is, Clive Barker, most of his stuff is fantasy. I mean,
that's true.
I'm not even just saying the fact that Pinhead is obviously not a real character, you know. But you know, I mean, a lot of his books are better classified as fantasy. But it's because his early work was horror. He's been sort of pigeonholed as
it does. Yeah, it does. When you think his name, you do think much more Pinhead than some of the other stuff where he is talking more. More of the thing. That's true. You're right.
Surreal fantasy. But
more
anyway.
Surreal fantasy. Not really that urban fantasy as much as more of the kind of dream fantasy. And when I always want to call it like more dream world fantasy. Surreal.
Yeah.
That works.
Yeah.
Sorry. Right, and then, of course, I said we were going to talk about it later, but of course we talked about it now. Sorry, John. Stop
sorry.
Me.
Well,
let's
leave for you. All right, so, Derek, remind everybody where they can find you at Dragon Con, where your rooms are, and also where they can find you to get more information on the web and things.
Well, actually, our website is horror.dragoncon.org, and that actually has the map to our room. This gets confusing, so bear with me, but the horror track room is in the Peachtree Room on the 8th floor of the Westin Peachtree Plaza Hotel. Now, of course, there are, large room events. Obviously, we're not going to put Tom Meissen in a room for 200 capacity.
Yeah.
But they're just, as always, look at the app or look at the schedule, and Daily Dragon and things of that nature. But as it stands right now, the Peachtree Room in the Westin Peachtree Plaza. So,
and also, don't get worried about that 8th floor thing. When you come into the Westin from the Peachtree Street, you go up the escalator because you're already on like the 6th or 7th floor right there. So
yeah, I think it's two escalators up to the 8th floor.
Yeah, I want to say you come in on like the 6th floor, so you go straight ahead and go up two escalators and then you're there. So yeah, it's not that bad. So don't get too worried. You're on the 5th or the 6th floor right there. So you don't have to think, "Oh my god, I'm going to never get there." Yeah, you are. You're going to be right there. It's not that bad.
Right. And it's escalators, not stairs.
Escalators, not stairs. Woohoo!
Yeah.
All right, well, Derek, thank you for joining us. And Lee, thank you for calling in from your vacation.
You're welcome.
She is literally on vacation. I don't think it is at Camp Crystal Lake, but maybe it is.
Yeah.
She's somewhere near water. That's all I know.
Yeah.
So Derek and Lee, thank you for taking time out of your day and out of your vacation to spend it here with me and these folks. So until next time. For Derek and Lee, this is John saying peace.
Take it easy.
Bye.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 833-210-TUG or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter at @TheUniqueGeek. Visit our listserv at listserv.theuniquegeek.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons share alike non-commercial license.